Is that pitiful or what?
No, that's wonderful. As much as you go, you needed it.
Yeah, I'm one of those that I'll be doing just fine. I'll be running around doing stuff and, you know, doing this, doing that, and the other thing. And all of a sudden, I'm just exhausted. I'm just so tired. And a rainstorm will come in. That barometric pressure.
Then you don't feel guilty after that.
And I don't feel guilty at all because it's the weather that actually makes me sleepy like that.
On Saturday, I had decided. No, I'm sorry. It was yesterday. I was getting tired. I said, you know, I need to take a little siesta. Maybe I'll go do this one task in the yard. And I literally went out in the yard to do about a 20-minute task. And I wound up spending about 3 hours in the yard. And it was exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of land I had to clear with a swing blade. And I'm telling you, I swung it until it broke. I broke the swing blade.
See, I went out and heard thunder and said, oh, can't work. Back inside, took the nap. Yeah. Anyway, the other voice joining us today, I'm sure you probably recognize, is Jack Burrell. In the 8 o'clock hour on Community Contact, he was Fairhope City Council President. Lots of stuff we talked about, and it will be on our website that you can listen to later. Right now, he's put on the hat for the chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization, or the MPO, which... That and the Mobile MPO, y'all are like tasked with designating federal infrastructure dollars for our local consumption.
Right.
Is that right?
Well, it's we get dollars from the federal government just based on our population. We get so much of a stipend, and we're tasked with spending that on roads, sidewalks, bike paths, things such as that, transportation related items, whether you're moving people or vehicles, bicycles, and whatnot. We're charged with just spending that small a portion of money that we get. Now, in addition to that, when the federal government wants to perform a major project, we also have to bless that. And we were just a little obscure organization until the Mobile River Bridge New Bayway project came back for consideration a little over a year ago now, maybe a year and a half ago. And we stopped that due to the tolling, you know, the ability for them to toll all the routes across the bay. And now we're going back and proposing that they don't toll the legacy routes. There's a truck-only bridge that's been proposed. I know a lot of people are sitting there saying that doesn't make sense. And we agree with that. It is a viable solution. It's something that would get a bridge built, but at least phase one. But for the long term, we need phases one, two, and three, which would be the entire project. So we are going back and trying to find funds for phase two and three, whether that be through this infrastructure bill or whether that be through a low interest loan. And anyway, let me stop for a moment, Lori, and let you ask questions, and I'll shed some more light on this.
Yeah, why couldn't it be completely funded through Biden's infrastructure plan? If we're going to throw away billions of dollars, why not it be on something useful like the bridge?
Well, you know, I can't make an argument for why that wouldn't make sense. It makes perfect sense. And as Mark pointed out prior to the show, Lori, is that a lot of that money in the infrastructure bill is not even going to infrastructure. And we've got this problem in D.C. that they're not spending money. It's all a money grab. So you might have a $3 or $4 or $5 trillion bill, and maybe only $1 trillion of it's going to infrastructure.
Right.
And you know, it's absurd. You're selling this, calling it an infrastructure bill, and only a small part, maybe 20-25% of it's going to what the name implies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much more we can put on this. But every state goes, well, we're going to fight for our amount of money. Some of the money doesn't even stay in this country. What really upsets me, Lori, and I sound like I'm running for office here for the federal level, and I'm not, but how is it that they can give billions and hundreds of billions of dollars to foreign entities when we can't even take care of our own? That's the part that really angers me. And, you know, the state of Alabama is going to get outvoted. If we say we want a mere $2 billion of that $4 or $5 trillion to solve a problem that is, you know, an economic driver for the entire United States, that being I-10 between Jacksonville, Florida, and Los Angeles, it would make sense. It makes sense to everybody that we need that, and it's $2 billion. We really don't need but another about $1.7 billion. You'd think we could get that. You'd think that instead of you know, spending money in a foreign country to neuter cats or something. We could get that.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, you also mentioned it could, in part, because we're a red state. Because I'm thinking, all right, Senator Shelby, give us your last hurrah.
Well, and you know, and that I think that does hurt because of the partisan politics in Washington, D.C. That, you know, has created this divide in this country, is that the Democrats are in power now, and every elected official from Alabama is a Republican. I think all, maybe, is there, do we have one congressman or woman that's Democrat, or are they all Republican now? They may be all Republican. We may have one Democrat out of seven. I can't recall, but not this district. But, you know, when they run on a platform that's so far to the right, you know, I don't know. We got to find people that can get along with both sides. So our thoughts, when I said I want to go to Washington, D.C. to seek not a handout, not grants. This was before the infrastructure bill it was even proposed, but how about giving us money at, say, 0.5 or 0.75%? It'd be an investment for the country.
Sure.
They could make a little bit of money. They're not giving it away, and I think it would be a model for the future to help, you know, pay for these things. We're not asking for a handout. We're asking for a hand up. And it seems like you could get bipartisan support for a request like that. You would think.
You would think, yeah.
So what are the alternatives? We could sit here and debate all day this dilemma, but what are the alternatives realistically to pay for this bridge?
Well, the toll, we could keep the toll, I believe, down in the $2 range if we could get a reasonable interest rate for the whole project.
Wait. You mean not us, though? No toll.
Well, it depends on if you take the tolled route or not. You know, if you want to take the existing routes, they would not be tolled. The new capacity would be tolled.
Eventually, though, the existing route's going to crumble. Then what?
Well, that's why I had proposed to only finance this for 20 years because, you know, we should be able to pay for that in 20 years, and then we'll have to decide what we need in 20 years. The Bayway is not going to last forever. Am I suggesting another toll to pay for that? Well, we will have, you know, we will have six new lanes completed by then, which will carry, that's an additional 50% capacity. And if you take the tunnel out of the equation, which slows everything down, you know, just by sheer amount of volume that can go through there, it should increase it by more than 50%.
Yeah, well, in the proposed tolls and payment scheme that they had would for the failed issue said that it would be paid for in less than 10 years with the tolls.
Yeah.
And after that, the company that invested it would reap those profits.
We're right.
Like, come on.
Well, that's why, you know, I called them, you know, not so politely, instead of concessionaires, I call them profiteers. In a public project, we don't have room for profiteers. Let's let the state of Alabama manage this and take in just enough toll to pay for that extra capacity and maybe for a little bit of maintenance. And you have, when I say to pay for it, you have to pay for the collection of the toll, the dispersion of the money, and no more than that. No more than what you need to pay for those three things: to make the note, to put a little aside for maintenance, and to pay for the collection, you need toll booths, and to pay those employees and the dispersion of those funds, which is, by the way, would only be one check a month to pay the note. But anyway, and I'm sure it's probably a little bit more complicated than that. I'm simplifying it, but all of that can be done for that $2 to $2.25 range. But we are waiting for ALDOT to give us some more information, which will be on July the 27th. There's going to be a joint MPO.
Okay.
That when I say joint MPO, that's the Mobile MPO, chaired by Mayor Stimson of Mobile, and the Eastern Shore MPO, which is chaired by myself, and ALDOT. And they are going to give us a Bayway project update at Five Rivers Delta Resource Center, which is on the causeway there. And that will be Tuesday, July 27th, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. That's going to be our next opportunity to find out, you know, what's going on with ALDOT. And have they put some numbers together to put some credibility into what I'm saying, or do they have some other ideas? Do they think we have a chance of getting infrastructure grants, for instance?
So this is not a public input meeting. This is a meeting
hearing
amongst the officials. Okay.
I want to say, you know, it should be a public meeting, although it doesn't necessarily have to be, because we're receiving updates from the state government. I think that in any event, public would probably want to show up, and it would be very limited, you know, seating by the time you get all the members in there. I mean, you couldn't hold hundreds, but, you know, I would say members of the public would be there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Jack. 928-9228. This is Swap Shop. Please don't feel like you're interrupting us when you give us a call. Anything else you want to mention or before you need to hit the door?
Yeah,
or?
No, I just want to thank you for giving the city the opportunity and the Eastern Shore MPO the opportunity to update the citizens. It's always very valuable to try to educate the public because, you know, there's always a story behind the story, and I believe in here we a lot of times cover the details. For instance, you asked the question about the big number on the electrical substation and why the engineering work was so high. And, you know, I think that those questions need to be asked of public officials, and I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you all being good stewards of our money, too.
Did you ask them about the health issues about living around a substation or about having the induction fields and such?
Some of the residents there, I believe Hawthorne Glen, right next to the new Morphy Avenue substation, have had a few complaints.
They were, you know, we addressed the noise, you know, which it turns out that the noise level is about that of a dishwasher from 6 feet away. And, you know, they would be 75 to 100 feet away. As far as health issues, I know that things have been talked about like that for years. I don't think there's any evidence that this would be any kind of health issue by living next to, say, a magnetic field or something such as that.
I say, what about the 5G towers going everywhere?
Yeah, so. I mean, there's that theory that the 5G is harmful to your health. I've asked that question before. You know, I can't study it myself, so you have to take somebody's word for it. Mm-hmm. That you know, they say it's safe. It does seem like if you have microwave radiation, you know, radiating, you know, we're getting irradiated. Yeah, that's a word, irradiated. IRR, I believe. You know, everywhere you go, you know, radiation is coming through these windows right now, coming through this building into our phones.
And in your head.
In our head, and it's coming through. So I don't know that the 5G is any more, you know, any worse than that, but we're being bombarded with electromagnetic radiation every day. And I don't know that living near a substation, you know, you know, I think you'd have to be right up next to an electrical component, which is also enclosed in steel, for that to be an issue. And even with that, I don't know that's an issue. It's something that's you know, people have, you know, I've heard about. You know, kids living near high power transmission lines, is that a health issue or not? I don't know, but we've been told that that's safe, that should not be an issue. And I don't mind the people of the subdivision raising the concerns. If I lived there, I'd probably raise those same concerns.
Right,
I think they have a right to, and we need to just answer those concerns. I think that when it's all said and done, and I hope I'm right, God, I pray that I'm right, is I think that the electrical station there covered by, you know, adequate landscaping so that they won't see it. There's not going to be traffic. There's not going to be noise. There's nobody living there. I think that, and I hope that it will be a good neighbor. And I think that we have other substations around town that have proven to be good neighbors. They're not going to trash the place and make a lot of noise. That's for sure. Not going to increase traffic. We're not going to put 20 townhomes on the site.
We got the brand new one there at Nichols and, is that Ingleside? No.
Nichols and Young Street,
Young, Nichols and Young.
Yeah.
There's one on both sides of the street.
Yeah, well, the one on one side is going to come down once everything. And we can't fully complete that substation until the one on Morphy is completed. The Morphy Avenue substation is key to a lot of our grid. So that won't be fully operational until the Morphy Avenue substation. We're going to close down the Church Street substation over there across the street from the rehab center, catty corner from Fairhopers Park downtown.
Oh, yeah.
That little small substation will be closed down and consolidated. That's being consolidated with the Nichols Avenue, and that music brought to you by Mark's Wally.
Mark's Wally's telephone.
You hear the background. I don't know if you heard it, but we did.
So what are you going to do with that city property if you close those down?
We are actually looking at leasing that to a broadband company for a distribution point. It would just be a little small trailer there, probably 15 feet wide, maybe 10 or 20 feet long. That's going to be a distribution point. We're negotiating that as we speak. But that will be shuttered, it'll be shut down, and I would imagine that we will just kind of keep up that area, and I don't see any plans for it right now to be vacated.
Okay.
So the But the concerns of the people, I hope that in time people will hopefully look back on that and say, yeah, this is a good neighbor. If you also go down Section Street, I believe it's Riviera has a pretty large substation down near a neighborhood on South Section, and that's a very high-end neighborhood that it's next to, kind of behind Lakewood there, and they don't get any complaints about that. And I don't think that, because, you know, I think valuation of properties is a valid concern, and I don't think that it's affected mm-hmm. those property values that's at all. And there's no landscape buffer there. It's just out in the wide open
right.
there. So I hope with time those concerns will be alleviated. I understand that we're not going to make everybody happy, but for the greater good of the people, we must have a substation. You know, if we put it across the street, it was going to be across the street from Hawthorne Glen and backed up to more residences than the proposed location backs up to. So, you know, it was one of those darned if you do, darned if you don't type situations. Right. We were going to get pushback from somewhere.
Speaking of darned if you do, darned if you don't, a lot of folks complain about the overdevelopment. Old Fairhope is gone, but what's being built and done is allowed via ordinances. People have a right to develop their property within the law. But you mentioned in our 8 o'clock hour, and I wanted a little review of that, about a study or something where you were going to assess the ordinances and look again, right. take another look.
Well, you know, with Restore Act funds, part of that's the comprehensive land use plan. I think that's maybe a $500,000 or $600,000 grant that we're going to go back and include it and look at the uses for our land. And we could get it. We could talk for probably a week about how, you know, the unzoned, unincorporated areas on the fringes of our city. Affect a lot of the dynamics, but that's for another day. Just within our corporate limits, though, they will be looking at the land use. They will also be doing a comprehensive review of all of our ordinances which govern our land use and zoning and things such as that. And so we will address a lot of the growing pains that we're having. A lot of this and the desire for people to live here is a growing pain. And people, we have to balance property rights with what's in the interest of the good of the everyone. We have to balance those two. And so I don't know that we can wait. What I believe I had said earlier was I don't know that we can wait for that study to be done to react to some of the things, some of the requests that we're seeing. So you may see some changes to our ordinances sooner rather than later. It's nice to do it in a comprehensive manner so that we don't make a change to one ordinance and inadvertently affect another, have, you know, the so-called unintended consequences. So, but we do have some issues that we need to address soon.
This was done, what, 3 years ago, maybe, with the previous administration, a moratorium, yeah. and some zoning ordinances redone or developed.
During that, yes.
Right. And
you know what? And that is being studied. We are well into studying a potential new moratorium. Let me just say that right now on Swap Shop. So we are in process of studying the need for another moratorium.
Okay.
In the past, it was, what, two or more? Or anything above two homes?
Yeah, any subdivision. And that's the things that we have to look at. Who will it affect? How long will it last? What are the reasons why? You can't just pass one. You have to have valid reasons. And I believe that we could say that we need to put the brakes on things to take a look at our ordinances is a very valid reason. We need to reconsider a lot of what we have going on right now. Infrastructure is another huge reason. That alone would justify moratorium.
Sure, but you've got so much of this that's being done outside of Fairhope city limits. What about annexing some of these critical areas into the city before they are developed?
Mark, you should be on the city council. You hit the nail on the head. And, you know, we really are going to start educating the public. I really wanted to save some of these comments for the mayor, but since you brought them up, you know me, I don't run from things. I think that the mayor would be very good at articulating this. Is she going to be on? No, she's not going to be on the show tomorrow, is she?
She's scheduled.
She's going
to
call in. She may be out of town. If you get her by phone on the air, I think you should talk to the mayor about this because she's very good at articulating. You know what we're looking at right now, and we are going to start encouraging people that are on the fringes to annex, because this Senate bill, is it 107 or 207, that, you know, is going to force us to withdraw our police jurisdictions, permitting jurisdictions, planning jurisdictions, and those are all three separate. We're going to have to withdraw that significantly. There's the potential to withdraw that to the municipal limits, which means we're going to have even less authority to control some of this growth. I mean, and people would be subject only to the county rules and not the city rules, and the city's and not subject to the city's building standards and things such as that. So we're not going to have a say at all. Well, we don't have a lot of say now. We're going to have no say, and we're going to be negotiating with the county commissioners to keep our permitting and planning police jurisdictions at a mile and a half. That's what we're proposing to them, and then we're getting some pushback from them as to, I believe it's January 1st, maybe 2023, that we would have to pull it back to the city limits unless we reach an agreement. We're negotiating that, but we're going to start encouraging people and showing them the benefits of being a Fairhope citizen, not just being able to vote in municipal elections, you know, not just having to pay City of Fairhope property taxes, but what are the benefits. The mayor is working on a long list of benefits that you receive when you are an actual citizen of the City of Fairhope and not just of the surrounding community. So we're working on that right now. So you're right on top of that, Mark. We need to get that word out, because the landscape is going to change here in less than 2 years, and I fear it's not going to be for the better due to this new bill. We're not real happy about that bill, by the way, and I've tried
this to... This eliminates the jurisdiction, the three-mile jurisdiction around the city limits.
Right.
That does give the city some control.
That gives us some control, and we're not trying to be all-controlling. I think the people in the city itself would say that it's a good thing. You know, not all zoning is a bad thing. It protects your property values. You know, I've had people that live on the fringes that kind of want to stay in the county call me and say, hey, what's going in next to me? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe a goat ranch. You know,
right.
I don't have any control over it. Then they want, but it only when it affects them do they want you to have control over it. When it affects them in a negative way, then they want that control. They want their cake, and they want to eat it too. And you can't have it both ways.
But at that point, it's too late.
At that point, it's too late.
The developers already bought it, and they plans. And
that's like the social media comments at this old 100-something-year-old home on Fairhope Avenue at Mershon that was torn down.
Right.
And a lot of social media comments about how could they tear down a historical old home. Well,
it's my favorite lot in the whole city, by the way. I was telling earlier.
It had been abandoned and neglected for many, many years, and it's within the property owner's right to tear it down if they want. And all these people are like, well, it should have been restored. Well, take your money and restore it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Buy the lot and put your money in there and restore it. Because, you know,
it's a catch 22.
You know, it probably wouldn't look anything like it anyway. It's probably, you know, dilapidated, rotten, fallen in, termites, who knows what
but
it is.
We want to know, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
The subdivision request, I've seen anywhere from 4 to 12 houses on that lot. So we want to know.
Yeah, I've got to look into the zoning of that, first of all.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jack.
Okay.
You're welcome to stay.
I've got to go. I have got
one other quick question.
Sure, sure, Councilman Swally.
Yes. CSpire and the broadband. You may have addressed this in the earlier, but do we have any update on the timeline for that?
CSpire and Southern Light.
Southern Light. It was just a renewal. Yeah. Southern Light. That was not for the broadband, but I think just to run their fiber optics, which is supplying one of those companies with the fiber. Supplied broadband that you're speaking of. So I have not heard. I know that they're working on it. They're working very quickly. I don't want to get into a particular competitive, you know, information that one could use against the other.
Sure.
But of those two that you mentioned, I mentioned that we're working on a distribution point, working on a lease for some land for a distribution point. That is with one of those. They have to bring that fiber in to a certain location to be a hub and then a distribution center, if you will. And it's not a big area.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of them that we're working with. I mean, I'm working on that today, in fact.
Okay.
So it is very much in the works. And, you know, we love competition. I have to be real careful not to give any kind of competitive advantage from, you know, one over the other. So let them have at it, and you let them both bring it in. You know, I think that they've said that, you know, the first one that comes to market will probably have the market share, and the other one would not be as excited to come. But I hope they both come. I think choices are a good thing.
Well, CSpire is taking over Harbor, is my understanding. Is that correct?
I believe that they have either, you know, I don't know if they purchased them or this particular area, but yes, a Harbor Communications, it was based out of Mobile, is a part of the CSpire network.
They have been commercial and business only, and I think
for the most part, yes.
Okay. Well, very good.
Yes.
Anything else?
Any more questions? Good question.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
All right. Have we sold any refrigerators or cars? Or anything?
What you need, Jack?
I don't know.
A sports car for sale? Looking for something to restore?
No, I don't today. But I tell you what, I've got a garage full of appliances. If I may put them on Swap Shop.
Okay.
Maybe next week or so. I've got to get a little one small repair to a refrigerator, and it'll be ready to go.
Very good. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.